Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What happens is, like, we're like trying to budget, and then we're like, oh, we'll just put it on the credit card because we're budgeting, and then we don't realize, like, oh, well, we just bought these plane tickets to go back to see my husband's family, or like we're in this kind of like fear of missing out on traveling when the kids are young and like before school starts, and we're like, do we save and not do anything, or do we just put it on the credit card?
Hello, and welcome to Planacious Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am here with a returning guest, which is always so fun, Kate. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about where you were and where you are now. So you said you still have your old spreadsheet, which is amazing, from when we talked back in 2020. So fast forward just about 4 years coming up on.
Yeah, coming up on 4 years. And it's funny because I was like, oh, my Google Drive is getting full. So I'm going to go back through and look through it before we decided to do another interview. And I was like, oh, it's right here. I should reach out to her.
Yeah, amazing. And a lot has changed. Well, obviously, a lot has changed for most people in 4 years, but you added another human.
I did. So last time we talked, I was pregnant with my first in 2020. Mm-hmm. And now she's 3 and a half, and now I have a 3-month-old. I just had a baby in January.
Crazy. Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a big challenge. Like, parenting is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it is, I know it's like a little cheesy, but it's very rewarding.
That's amazing. And now, what if some people say that 0 to like your first child is the hardest adjustment because you go from not having had a child to having a child. And then other people say 1 to 2 is harder.
Yeah, I think they're hard in different ways. And I know that's also kind of cheesy to say, but it's so true. Because like if you've never had a baby before, so then you have one and you're like, what do I do? Like you're worried about everything. And then when you add a second one, you're more like, well, for us, it's more of learning how to navigate your toddler's emotions and trying to figure out how to balance your time with both of them.
We had talked a bit about your career last time. So yes. I feel like there's probably a lot of, I mean, having children is a very big change. Why don't we give our listeners an overview? How old you are? You're married with 2 children, which we just discussed. Whereabouts you live, career. And then let's talk about where you were previously in 2020 and what's changed.
Yeah, so I am 34 and we live in Colorado in a ski town. Before, I was an acupuncturist and my husband was in vacation rentals and he's still in vacation rentals. And before, we were bringing home $150 together.
Okay.
And our expenses were around $5,000 a month and our take home was $9,300.
Okay.
And we had about $24,000 in credit card debt. And you know, we are still kind of stuck in that let's just use a credit card for everything because my husband's like, I want the points. And I'm like, well, I want to get out of credit card debt. Okay. And I remember you telling me, you know, you should get out of credit card debt. And previously you said we should get life insurance, obviously, because we have two children. And so we do have that now.
You got term insurance, the cheaper temporary insurance.
Yeah.
Okay,
my husband, before we met, and he only has 8 years left, he bought a whole life plan.
Okay.
So he does have a whole life plan that's about to be done in 8 years, which is good.
Okay. So we had talked about getting out of credit card debt and getting insurance because you're about to have a baby. And obviously when you have dependents, it's important to have coverage. So your husband had worked for a company that sold whole life. So he had a whole life policy, which he has 8 years left on.
Yes.
And then you got term insurance.
We did. And I have it all broken down. But as far as my change in roles go, I stopped working completely for about 2.5 years. I'm still not working full time. I'm working very, very part time. And I have my own health and wellness online remote work.
Cool.
So I can go over like our income and then go through all of our expenses.
Yeah, let's see where we are now.
So right now, my husband takes home $115. He also co-owns a gym in the area, and that's like really minimal. He takes home $6,000 a year for that.
Okay. Oh,
and with his regular job, he has the potential to make $15,000 in bonus.
Okay. And when you say he makes $115, that's his gross salary.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And then he has the opportunity to make $15,000 additional in a bonus. So his potential compensation annually is $130,000 gross for the,
yes.
And that's a W-2 job.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
Takes home about $6,000 a year for the gym. And then I'm projecting to take home about $8,400 for my part-time online wellness coaching. Yeah. So in total, we take home $8,350-ish. I think I did this before his bonus, a month. He has a retirement plan. I don't have any retirement. I'm looking into doing a SEP eventually because I own my own business. But right now, when I'm still doing part-time, I'm not going to do that yet. But he has about $60,000 in his retirement.
Okay, great. And that's with the existing company. So he's contributing to that. So
yes,
with his take-home pay, that is after taxes, the 401k contribution and health insurance, I presume.
The yearly, yes. And then the about $8,400, we'll say, is what we take home a month after all of the taxes and contributions and medical and dental and all of that's taken out.
Okay, so a month... Is it $8,050 coming in or $8,400 a month after everything that you have?
$8,400. Sorry.
$8,000. Okay, perfect. Well, we talked when you were pregnant, so you didn't have the child expenses yet. But so then you had $9,300 coming in. Now you have two children and you have less coming in.
Yeah, it is so scary. And I didn't realize it until I saw that spreadsheet because, you know, we had two incomes and then I decided to stay at home with my kiddos because childcare is really expensive up here.
Childcare is probably too expensive.
It's on average $100 a day per kid on average. You know, some places are a little less expensive and some places are more.
So it's $1,000 a week, which would be $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
So like if we were to take your prior income with both of you working and subtract $4,000 for childcare, you would only be bringing in, right, $5,300. So you're actually saving quite a bit of money by not paying for childcare. But I think it's really great that you're still working part-time because I think it's important as a woman to like maintain your skills or anybody who's going to stay home with the children or child because it's hard to get back into the workplace if you're out too long, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to find a good, healthy relationship between your personal life and your work life. And I think it's, you know, it's all consuming if you do anything that you love. Like I love being a mom, but if I did it, you know, 24 hours, 7 days a week, I get burned out. You know, I also love skiing, but if I did that 24 hours, 7 days a week, I get burnt out, you know? So yeah, definitely, I agree. You have to maintain your skills and also just have your own personal sense of self, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I would just say, just because you mentioned the set, so with what you're bringing in, if you're grossing $8,400, and I'm sure, as you know, running your own business, income varies. So you said a SEP IRA. A SEP IRA is a great option, but a SEP IRA is going to be a percentage of self-employment income. And so I think your largest contribution amount would end up actually just being a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, because you could max out. You also are eligible for a spousal IRA. So you could do the full amount for either a traditional IRA or Roth IRA. And because the SEP is a percentage of your income, you would end up being able to put more away right now with this income with a traditional or a Roth. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And I really like,
you said spousal IRA.
Yeah. You're eligible for one. You have the income to do one, but you're also eligible for what's called a spousal IRA. You don't have a workplace plan, right? And you do have income, but let's say you had a year in those 2.5 years where you stopped working, you're still eligible to do a retirement, like a Roth or a traditional, as a spouse of a working person.
Oh, okay.
Great. Because usually the rule, right? Yeah, people don't realize that. Usually the rule is you have to have earned income to do a traditional IRA or Roth IRA. And that is true. But if you're married and you're a stay-at-home parent, or you're not working for whatever reason, and you have a spouse that is working and has earned income, you can still contribute. It changes the rules. Our last podcast that went out, I talked about IRAs and all of the IRA rules. And so I think that's an interesting thing with IRAs, not to make them more complicated than they need to be, but you are eligible for a spousal. And even though you own your own business, you want to choose the retirement savings vehicle that's going to allow you to put the most away. And so with the SEP, your limit is going to be significantly lower. We'll just ballpark and say it's about 2000, where the traditional IRA or the Roth IRA would allow you to save a much higher contribution amount, should that work for your budget. We'll go over your expenses and everything. But when you're looking at IRAs, you are eligible as a spouse to do one, should you not make money or have earned income for that year. Based on, there's a couple other rules, but that's just something to keep in mind, that it doesn't have to be a business plan. While you own your own business, you're still eligible, and the traditional and the Roth will allow you a higher contribution amount given this year's income or projected income.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for letting me know about that.
Yeah, of course. And then as your business grows, or if you go into it full time, the SEP you would just reevaluate based on where the income of the business is. What is your best vehicle that allows you the most contribution?
Okay, great. And it's easy to just transfer from the traditional Roth.
Yeah, so you would just so let's just say this year you decide to do a traditional IRA, you fund it, you get the tax break. And then next year, or let's say in 2 years, right? The kids are a little older, you're spending a bit more time on the business and the income increases. And then you say, okay, I want to put more away than a traditional IRA. And then you would look at the SEP with that and see, you would just see which one gives you the most. The SEP is a pre-tax option. I'm not aware of a Roth SEP IRA. So that's one thing to note, but there's other ways you could set that up, but we'll just keep it simple. You want to just look at the vehicle and see which makes the most sense. You're not, if you choose one year, you're not beholden to that one next year. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. You should always just be evaluating, especially as a business owner, like what makes the most sense. Like, so for instance, when I started my business, we started with the simple IRA. That's what we've kept for the whole time. And we'll probably switch to a 401k shortly in the next year. We'll see how my to-do list never gets done as quickly as I think. But I think a year is a reasonable amount of time, which sounds crazy to me that I can't do something in a month. But you would just evaluate what makes the most sense for your family and for your business and your tax situation. But if you start with the traditional, it doesn't mean you have to stick with the traditional. If you start with the Roth, you can change your mind. And you just want to make sure you meet the qualifying factors for whatever vehicle you choose.
Okay. So,
but there's lots of options.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so we're bringing in $8,400 a month. Where are we with expenses?
So our expenses are kind of fixed expenses. Our mortgage, which is $2,200.
Okay.
Groceries, which have really skyrocketed. We love to cook at home, though, so we spend about $1,000 a month on groceries.
Okay.
And eating out and alcohol is about $200 a month.
Okay. That's really reasonable.
And our energy bill is $250.
Okay. I was going to say with four people.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's a baby and a toddler, so they, you know, mm-hmm. they don't eat that much, but when we go out, it is very expensive. Like I would say the average price of a regular cheeseburger is probably like $25 here at any restaurant. Yeah. I mean, you know, not McDonald's or anything, but.
Yeah, that's a fancy burger.
Yeah. And they're not fancy, unfortunately. It's just because, you know, they can charge so much because
we live in this area.
Yeah. You know, like just being by a ski.
If you're by a ski resort, you got to expect like the $20 chicken nugget, right? So.
Exactly. Yeah. It's frustrating. But anyway. So gas for our cars is $350 a month.
Okay.
And we have a car payment because we had to buy a new truck for my husband, and that's $500 a month.
Okay.
And cable internet is $216.
Okay.
Our phones are $90. And our dog expenses are about $50 a month.
Okay.
And then we have some subscription services, which are $74.
Okay.
And then our term life, we each have one, and it's a 30-year return premium, is $370. Okay.
For both. And how much is the value? Like, what is the face value? So, like, what would happen if one of you died? What would you get paid? What's the...
$500,000.
For each of you?
Yeah.
Great. And then when you purchased it, it was for 30 years. So after 30 years, it goes away.
Yes. And it's Perfect. A return premium, which I hadn't heard about this, but my husband set it up. And I guess you just get back what you paid into it. You know, obviously there's no interest or anything, but we'll get like $60,000 between the two of us back in 30 years.
Perfect. Okay. But then you're covered with $500 for each of you. And what's remaining on the mortgage? Do you know?
What's remaining on the mortgage? Yeah, I think so. We'll go into this, but we're in the process of purchasing a second mortgage on our house in order to pay off our credit cards, because we just have completely dug ourselves into a giant, giant credit card debt hole.
Okay, so you took out a second mortgage to pay off credit card debt.
We're in the process of it. And I wanted to, because we were thinking okay. about doing a home equity line of credit, but because the variable interest rate is so unpredictable, and I know that you can only take out a second mortgage once, and we would eventually like to expand our home portfolio and buy a second home, but we just have dug ourselves into a huge, giant credit card debt hole.
And what's the amount of the hole currently?
Oh, this is embarrassing, but it's $60,000.
Okay, $60,000. And then, okay, so tell me what your existing mortgage amount is without the second mortgage option.
It is like right at $400.
Perfect. Okay, so what I want to make sure is the term insurance, in theory, for either one of you, should anything happen, would pay off the mortgage and eliminate $2,200 and leave you with $100,000 left in it, like coverage. That would be bad for you, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's good. We have some coverage, but it still wouldn't, maybe you would only pay off half them. We would have to see what you would do, right? You'd have money coming in, but maybe you wouldn't pay off the mortgage and give yourself more bandwidth to be able to get back into a career, right? So that you could support all the expenses.
Right.
Okay. So that's good. So the term insurance is more than the mortgage amount, so that's fantastic. Statistically, nothing will happen, but so it's good to have coverage. Okay, but now the big issue on hand is the credit card debt. So that must be like absolutely strangling you guys. What are the monthly payments supposed to be on that?
Oh, the monthly payments are about $1,000, but we've been paying like $2,500 towards it.
And is it working?
No, it is absolutely not working because we're like still using the card and the interest rates. Yeah. And I actually still have more expenses to tell you.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say let's go back and total our expenses. Okay. So we have more expenses. Okay. So we stopped with subscriptions, and then we had term, which I just did a little sidebar on. Okay. So $370 for term. And what else do we have?
And so these expenses are all annual expenses. So I'll list them off and then I'll tell you how much they total per month, you know, on average. Does that work? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have car insurance, and it's high. It's $3,000 a year. I'll just say that because we bought a new truck.
Okay.
And so we have water and trash. We have my husband's whole life insurance policy that he bought years ago. That's $1,500 a year.
And what is the face value on that?
It's $100,000. I know.
And it's 50. What's the cash value of that?
I am not sure, actually. But oh, so he paid he's paying $1,500 a year for 20 years. So $1,500 times 20 is $30,000.
It depends. Yeah. What I want to know, what's like, if you cancel that, what do you get? $100,000. Oh. Yeah. Maybe we have money there to pay off some of the credit cards. Now this is because $100,000 is not going to replace his income. It's no. 1 year, which is great, but you're also drowning in credit card debt. So if you take out, do you see what I'm saying? Like where my head's at right now is you owe $60,000. So if he dies, like you just pay off part of the credit cards, like right. Or you pay off all the credit cards, but we still have a bit, pretty big gap, right? Maybe we don't pay off the mortgage. We have to figure it out. If you said to me his whole life policy was for $500,000, I would be like more inclined to keep it.
Yeah.
You're paying $1,500 for $100,000 and we have $60,000 of credit card debt. So like, I wonder what's in there. Could we use that to pay off some of the credit card debt?
Yeah. So he's been paying into it for 12 years.
Okay.
And he has 8 years left on it.
Okay. And it's $1,500.
Yeah. And it is, it's $1,500 a year.
Okay. I want you to find out if you cancel it, what you get.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Okay. Okay. So whole life, and it's $100,000 face value. Sorry, I cut you off. Okay. So, and then the rest of the expenses.
So the next items I took from our expenses that we spent last year to try to figure out what we're going to do this year. We spent about $12,000 last year in travel expenses and $2,500 in auto and about $1,500 out of pocket health things like going to a chiropractor or massage and that kind of stuff. And about $2,000 in personal things like gifts or clothes or, you know, shoes, that kind of thing. Okay. So in total, it was $25,800. So if I broke that down by month, it would be $2,150.
Okay, $2,150. Okay, and then I can total up your other expenses. Do you happen to have it totaled on that spreadsheet you're looking at?
I do, yeah. So our total expenses are $7,500 a month.
Not including that $2,150.
Including that $2,150.
Including that. Okay. So total $7,500. And you're bringing in $8,400.
I know. It's scary and awful.
No. So is that including the $7,500 isn't including or is including, I'm just trying to do quick math, the $2,500 towards the credit cards?
No. So it's not. And that's why
it's not.
We're
that's
like
the problem.
In a huge hole.
Yep.
And what happens is like, we're like trying to budget and then we're like, oh, we'll just put it on the credit card because we're budgeting. And then we don't realize like, oh, well, we just bought these plane tickets to go back to see my husband's family. Or like, we're in this kind of like fear of missing out on traveling when the kids are young and like before school starts. And we're like, do we save and not do anything? Or do we just put it on the credit card and, you know.
All right, let's see how we can figure this out.
Yeah, so the reason why we're in the process of doing that second mortgage is our second mortgage payment is going to be about $850 a month for 10 years.
$850 a month. And how much are you getting out of the second mortgage?
$60,000. Just enough to
just
pay out. Yeah.
To pay it off. But then, okay. But then your expenses are $7,500, right? And then we add $850 to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then
we'll be breaking even.
You'll break even. So then like
there's no wiggle room. There's nothing.
No emergency.
Yeah. There's no emergency, but I was thinking because I took the average of what we spent last year on travel, like we spent $12,000 on travel. We could definitely cut that this year. I mean, we haven't traveled yet and it's already April, right? So even if we just did one little trip where we can stay with his family, you know, so there's no hotel expenses.
Okay. Do you have an emergency fund? I'm presuming no, but I have to ask.
Yeah, we do not. We have like, okay, I don't know, maybe under $1,000 in savings.
And the only retirement we have right now is the $60,000.
Yes.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out. This might be controversial, but I want you to see what's in the Whole Life.
Okay.
What amount is in there? What's the rate on the second mortgage?
9.25. I know the Fed just raised it again. It's like, but our credit cards.
Yeah, it's way cheaper than your credit cards. What is your primary mortgage amount? It should be low.
Yeah, it's 2.85.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Okay. And that's a 10-year fixed at 9. So that will solve it. It's cheaper. Here's my concern is there's no wiggle room. Yes, I agree. You could spend less on something has to give, right? And it doesn't, this is the way I like to propose the budgeting. It's not permanent. Just like we talked about, like with the IRA, like you could do an IRA 1 year and not do it the next year. The same thing with figuring out where can you save, and it's not going to be comfortable initially, right? It's going to be 100% uncomfortable. But if you can commit to cutting some expense out or maintaining where you are, I think you'll feel more comfortable if it's not dollar for dollar every month. And one big expense, you're correct, which would free up a lot, would be the travel. I also think the Whole Life isn't worth what you're spending for what you're getting.
Okay.
Sometimes it's better to cut your losses on things.
So how does that work? If we did cancel it, does he just get back everything he's paid into it, or?
Not necessarily. You get the value. So I don't, all these products, okay. So I don't know without looking at it. So what one company sells is not going to be identical to what another company sells. They all have different names. So people will say I have Whole Life, and then I look at a statement and it's like, well, it's not exactly. So you'd have to get the statement. You'd have to call the company. You'd ask for the statement. It will show you when it was incepted. It's going to give you the details. And then you just have to ask, or it'll say on the statement, like, if I cancel this policy, what do I get back? That's what you have to find out. And then that's where you evaluate, like, okay, we can get back $19,000. That might be more valuable to you today than $100,000 death benefit. My thought is if your husband dies, $100,000 is definitely going to help, but it's not going to completely solve your problems.
Right.
And if you felt uncomfortable not having that additional $100,000 value, you could always get a $100,000 term policy for 10 years on him.
Yeah.
And that will be a lot less than $1,500, and you would still get money back, right? So like that would be the way to get the same coverage for this, for not the same amount of time, right? Whole Life is for your rest of your life. I just very rarely see them working out long term. And right now you're in a crunch, right? We're in a bit of a hole.
Absolutely.
And what I'm thinking is maybe you stick with the second mortgage, see what you can get back on the permanent insurance. And then now you might have like an emergency fund so that it relieves some anxiety that you have cash available. And then and you could rotate it, but I would say, okay, so like we're only going to spend $3,000 on travel this year. And I understand the kids are young and you want to be able to do things with them, but we need to lower our, there's only two ways to solve the problem, right?
Yeah.
We have to lower expenses or we have to make more money.
Right. Yeah.
And I hate saying it because it's like, feels very extreme, but like, and you only have to do those things until you get ahead. Does that make sense? It's not permanent. You don't have to be on like a penny counting budget forever.
Yeah.
And I think you're on the right track with solving the problem, because 9.25, while is still very high, is a lot lower than what you're not going to get. The problem with the credit cards is you'll never get ahead with the interest.
Exactly.
It's just going to be this terrible death spiral of you're sacrificing significantly and getting nowhere with the debt, right? And so yeah. I agree that you have to do something radical to fix it. So my idea would be, yes, look at the second mortgage. I would also look at canceling the whole life. You do have $500,000 on each other. So that's mm-hmm. something. So should any one of you die prematurely, it's not going to completely solve the financial problem, but it'll buffer the financial problem, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, it's where do we cut from your budget? Or is there a way to make more money? Is there a way to bring in more, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of what I wanted to ask you and get your opinion. And I know, because I know you interview so many people, and on some of your podcasts, I'm like, holy cow, how are they making so much money? Like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know what that's like. And for me, I am very much of like, I have to do what I love. Like, I cannot like pretend to do any kind of job that doesn't feel right for me in order to make money. So I wanted to get your opinion. He is one below the VP of his company, and he's making, you know, like 130 if he gets the bonus. And I wanted to see, like, do you feel like that's, because I really think that he needs to either advocate for himself and get a better raise or find a different company. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about advocating for, I mean, I tell everyone on the podcast, like, right? So like, the budgeting will help. What will help more, in my opinion, like, yes, if you cut out vacations and we get that and you save, we'll just say $6,000 next year, that will help for sure. But what will help more, I think, is making more money. And so, yeah, if he can get into a role where he's bringing in $150,000, $160,000, that will help. And here's what I would say. If that role requires more hours, you're better off giving up the gym. And do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you can make like 20 or 30,000 more on your career position, right? With maybe better benefits or better match, that is a better use of time than the gym.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know what the hours are for the gym, but like I would look at that and either advocating with your own company, but I'm a big believer there's nothing wrong with going out and seeing what would he garner in the market? Like if he goes and interviews, like you don't have to take the position, you can interview. And if it's not worthwhile, you don't leave. And if it is worthwhile, you can go back to your existing firm and say, this is the offer I have. Like, do you want to match it and keep me, or I'm going to move on? It's business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. If he really likes the company, but thinks maybe he's undervalued, like a good way to find out is like, if you go and interview for other roles and you find out what you're worth, right? Like, what is someone else going to pay you? And if it's significantly higher than your existing company, you can give them the offer to counter and say, if you'd like to retain me, I believe I'm worth this. I have an offer. The tricky thing with that is you have to be willing to go. And most people aren't always willing to go, right? Like if you give them the opportunity to counter and they don't, you need to be willing to walk and take the other
job. Yeah. I agree. And like the whole gym thing, it's like such a passion project for him. And I would say it's like more like back end stuff that he does, luckily. But I hear what you're saying. Like he needs to either, you know, step back if he needs to do more hours. But I mean, he's salary, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I wouldn't let the gym detract, because running a business, it's usually more hours than you even count, right? Because it's stuff that like, everyone's always like, oh, you get like so much flexibility. I do. But I also wake up in the middle of the night and I also tend to work weekends.
Yeah.
So it like doesn't really turn off usually when you're an owner. If it's making 6,000, that's fine. But if you could make 150, 160 in another role, then maybe that it ends up being more of a distraction or a deterrent, right? And he can focus that extra energy on the career position where it's more, your return on time is better.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel really great hearing you say that, because that's kind of like where I'm at with talking to him. And I'll be like, you know what, Barbara told me, and she's a, you know, a CFP. So you need to listen to her.
Well, so sometimes what I hear from people is they have a career position and then they're like, but I need to make more money. So they go get a side hustle. I'm all about a good side hustle. But if the side hustle, like sometimes I wonder if people are like splitting their time the right way, because like if the side hustle is capped at like 10,000, but your career, you could earn an extra 30. To me, your energy should be to earn the extra 30 at this stage of life where everything is very expensive, right? We have two young children, you're working part-time. We need money, right? That's,
yeah.
It's not always going to be that way. It doesn't mean that the gym isn't a passion project when the kids are in school and you go back to work full time or whatever the situation, like life ebbs and flows, right? But if the time invested in whatever scenario, if the payoff is better in the career, like more hours, more dedication equals, because like, what if they say like, okay, yeah, you want to make 160. That's very viable, but we need you to stay late on these days or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you see what I'm saying? Because I've seen people who are like, yeah, working every weekend on my side hustle. And it's like, well, it's not bringing in that much more. Like, what if you worked every weekend on your career? You could like make 100,000 more. Like, wouldn't that make more sense?
That's a great point. Yeah. Like your time is more valuable than having a side hustle.
I think so. Just given where his salary is now. Right. Yeah. So like if he could go and it might be longer hours, it might be more stress or what, you know, so then maybe the gym is a passion project, but it's still work.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, maybe he just goes and works out instead. And then down the goal is to like, I want, when I have more free time and the kids are a little older, then I would like to get more involved in that. But I think you want to, at this stage of life where you're stretched very thin, you want to see where your biggest return for your time is going to be, who's going to pay you the most. And if just taking a guess, it probably is his career.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, that's great advice. I'm definitely going to tell him about that. And our daughter is, we're going to try to put her in preschool. But I don't know if this is in every state, but preschool costs money.
Yeah, I was like, this is why I want you to look at the whole life, because this second mortgage is going to solve the immediate problem, but it's still going to be tight monthly. And
yeah,
you own a home, you have two small children, like there's just going to be expenses that pop up that
we have
to plan for. And,
I wanted to just tell you, in case any of your listeners live in Colorado, there's this thing called the Universal Preschool Program that Colorado does. They will basically pay for your preschool expenses for 15 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there because that is what we're applying for. You know, obviously you have to apply for it and you might not get it, but
that would be incredible. So that would be, because what is that going to run approximately, or what if you...
So we're going to put her in part-time preschool, and that's about $400 a month. And if you do full-time, it's $800. So if you do part-time and you get the universal preschool benefit of 15 hours a week, you basically get preschool covered.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, you're really going to be living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, okay. And it feels like we're living on a more extreme version of paycheck to paycheck right now.
Yeah, because with the credit card, for sure. Okay, now I'm going to ask you, with your part-time work, is there any way to get that income up?
Yeah, absolutely. Since it's remote and I have coaching clients, like if I get more coaching clients, I can, you know, kind of like what you're saying, like I can work when everybody's asleep. I can work on the weekends when my husband's available to help watch the girls. So I can definitely get that up, but I have to be able to put time and energy into it.
Yeah, you have to invest in it.
Exactly.
What do you, so like, once again, I'm going to like play the gym advocate because I'm not against it, but what I'm thinking is like, if he's out at the gym doing work there, then you're with the kids, so then you can't work on your business. Like what's the return? Like, I think you need to have like a household meeting and say, okay, like with your career, if you were to go look for another role, how much more could you make? Is it make more sense for your time to be at the gym and me not working? Or does it make more sense for me to be working more on my business? And what's the return? Or should you take the gym over? Right? Like, I think you need to sit down and be like, we only have so many hours, right?
Exactly.
Where's our best use? Because the best way to solve the problem is to go on a stricter budget. So like the most obvious is the vacations, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like, there doesn't seem to be a lot to cut, right? Like,
I know. I was like, do we just like, I mean, if $74 a month in subscriptions gonna help us, and it's like things like, you know, Netflix, you know, Disney
probably
Plus,
not.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really going to move the needle. Like, if you spend $2,000 on vacations instead of $12,000, that will move the needle. Yeah. But, like, the car insurance, you could try to get a discount, but it's not, they're not going to bring it down to $1,000. Utilities, I don't even think that's the car payment. If you could get the car payment, yeah.
Yeah. Our electric bill's nuts. Like, this winter when it was really cold, I'm not kidding, we paid like $300 and something a month for the winter, and our house is less than 1,500 square feet. Like, just living, you know, in the mountains in the winter when it's below freezing every night, it was like, I couldn't believe how much our energy bill was.
So the car, the truck is expensive. You could try, I don't know what the rate on that is. You could see if there's a better option to refinance that, to lower that. But I honestly think the better option, in my opinion, is to reduce the travel, consider the whole life, reduce it, getting rid of the whole life. That's a big, big expense.
Yeah.
So if you could save around $9,000 there. But then once again, if you don't get approved for universal pre-K, that wipes that, no vacation because we're paying for pre-K. Like, it's a wash. So I really think the best option is to try and bring in more.
Yeah.
Because your mortgage is very reasonable. Usually housing cost is the issue.
No, our mortgage is really reasonable. And we were really lucky to, you know, we bought in 2019 and then we refinanced twice and got rid of mortgage insurance and have a really great rate. I mean, we were paying $2,600 a month for mortgage just to pay down the principal. But, you know, because we decided to get in credit card debt instead, we were like, okay, we just need to pay our actual mortgage now.
Yeah. And you don't want to be prepaying the like 2.85% one, right? Like that one, that's fine. That's, it's a very efficient loan. I think the better thing, I honestly think the better thing to do is to try and bring in more money. I would definitely cut back on the vacations because you might have pre-K expense and that's going to be a wash. There's the vacation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then when the girls are back in school, you could go back to work full time and then that would bring your income up. Exactly. But I think the better thing to do is, to evaluate, sit down with your husband and be like, how do we bring in more money? That's the best way. And then you have to, when you bring in more money, we can't increase lifestyle. That's just, we stay on the same, right? That's the tricky part is what happens is people make more money, they spend more money and it never feels any better. And they're like, why does this not feel any better? And it's because the lifestyle increases. So the goal is to make more money and stay exactly where you are, which will be tough. It's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And start to get ahead, right? Like start to build the retirement, start to build the emergency fund, right? And then a vacation fund will obviously come as well. But it will be sacrifice initially. But I think your best investment right now is in probably your business, is my guess, because it's remote. So you could do that, like, as you said, like from 8 to 10 p.m. every night when like the kids are in bed, and you could do it on the weekends when he's home. And gyms are notoriously not like great returns on investments.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's the only reason I'm not leaning towards that. I've never met anyone who's like, I made millions of dollars on my gym.
Oh, man.
Not to say.
If you meet them, like send them my way. Yeah. I want to talk to them.
So, like, I've never met one. I'm sure there's somebody that exists that did great, but I just, labor, materials, big space, it's just like a lot of expenses. So I kind of think yours is very low expense, right? Like you need a laptop, I'm assuming.
Exactly. A laptop and malpractice insurance, which is really reasonable. Like my monthly expenses, which I took out before, are $70 a month for my business.
Right. So then there's a big upside for as you make more money because your expenses don't go up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, that's where I would invest time.
Okay. So we need to talk. We need to make more money. But I'm really happy to hear that our expenses aren't unreasonable because I was looking at them, you know, obviously, aside from the travel, I was looking at them and I was like, wait, so we're basically doing these essentialist expenses and we're breaking even. Like,
yeah. The only other one is like the car payment, but like, and you could look at that about like, is there a cheaper truck, an older truck? And like,
yeah.
So the places I see problems are right, like housing costs. Your housing cost, you know, $2,200 for what you're bringing in is very reasonable. Do not have an issue. The truck payment is high, but you only have one car payment, right? Like we don't have two.
Yes, so I own my other car, which is nice.
Right. So I'm like on the fence about focusing on that. Like, yeah, maybe you can get it down to $400. You could look for a car loan sale, refinance it, something. But I'm on the fence because we have two people and one payment. So then the travel is obviously was a big expense, which is going on a credit card. So it's like even more, so if you're spending $1,000 a month, you're actually spending more because you're paying interest on your vacations, right? On a credit card.
Way more. Yeah.
Way more. Yeah. And so, but like your eating out budget's really low, like 200. Groceries feels reasonable for four people, right? Like, and
okay,
I mean, diapers, I don't have kids, but like that, it feels, it doesn't feel excessive.
Yeah.
Cable, internet, phones, dogs, subscription. I mean, everything else is like, you have to have term insurance. Like we can't get rid of that. So yeah, the ones that like, to me that stick out the biggest that could be cut is like the travel, unfortunately. And then the whole life. Cause I just don't think $100,000 premium face value is really going to solve many problems.
Yeah.
Solve some, but the problem is you're paying for the whole life insurance and that basically is going on a credit card. And now we're taking out a loan to solve the credit card and we have this insurance. That...
No, we're in this like awful cycle.
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do, I don't love the second mortgage. I think it'll solve the problem. What I would figure out is what the whole life amount is. And if you could maybe reduce the second mortgage by that amount or like way, because like, right, if you take that money and put it in a high yield savings account, it'll earn 5%, but you're paying 9.5%. So it's just a, like, if you could make more money, you could immediately fund an emergency fund. And I think the trick is sit down and figure out how to make more money, right? Like, should your husband look for another job? Maybe we get rid of the gym, not until your income goes up or he, right? Like you want to make sure you've offset that first. So it's going to be tight in the interim, like from time standpoint of like,
yeah,
he has to interview, still do the gym, still do his existing job.
But yeah.
If you can get your income up, I would immediately save the difference.
Okay.
Until you start getting ahead. And so what I will say is to get ahead is going to be painful. But you have to choose your hard. Like what you're living in is hard. Like your current existence is hard.
Yeah.
So you have to choose your hard. I think the hard that would be better is like the sacrifice to get ahead versus the like treading water situation.
For years. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So we need to have a family meeting, make more money, talk about the gym, and look at the return for the whole life. Okay.
Yep. What would you pull out of it?
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I really
appreciate it. So can we have you back on like sooner? I want to like in like 8 months, can we have like a check-in to be like, okay, are we making more money? Are we saving more?
Yeah. Or I mean, I really, really hope so. So I would love to come back onto your podcast. It's so great talking with you.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. So I actually was doing some research and I hope this makes you feel better. You're not alone with the credit card debt. We're seeing a huge spike in credit card balances. And the reason why is obviously interest rates have gone up. So now if you're in credit card debt that aren't great, like can't lock in a 10-year fixed loan for 3%, right? To get out of it. And you have inflation still. And what happens is this all happened fairly quickly and no one's spending adjusted, right? So like maybe your groceries were 800 before, now you're buying the same exact stuff and it's 1,000. It's a big difference in your budget.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was just looking and we used to spend less on groceries and the same on eating out with just two of us, which is crazy. And in 2020, we made more money than we do 4 years later, which I feel like is wrong considering, like you said, all the inflation. And it does feel a little bit better to know we're not the only ones in credit card debt. I mean, we looked last year and we spent $6,000 just on interest in the credit on the credit card.
Yeah, that's why you're going to have to sit down and choose your hard. No one likes to budget. No one likes to give up vacations, but it's a downward spiral with the credit card debt, right? And like you're going to have more expenses with the kids. So I think the hard you should choose is like we cut out vacations. We're very, very strict with our money. And we're going to make more of it. And we're going to sacrifice for this period of time and get ahead.
Right.
Because once you get ahead, it gets easier, right? Like once you have the emergency fund and you have wiggle room in your budget, it's the opposite of what you have now, where you're spiraling down, where everything just gets harder and harder and harder because it's like, now we have an expense, it's back on the credit card, we're already not making progress. You go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, that's worth the sacrifice. It just feels better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do it. It's just going to take some work, but I mean, it just depends on like, it can happen very quickly on how committed you are to it and how much you want it to change. Cause it's a personal sacrifice for both of you on time and in and getting, you know, interviewing for your new job, getting the resume prepped, which means like, instead of watching a Netflix show, you're working on your resume, right? Like, it's all going to be sacrificed, but I think it'll be this, I think that hard is better than the hard you're in.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have a check-in sooner than 4 years.
Okay. Sounds good.
So do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I think you covered everything, and thank you so much. Like, really great advice. And I'm actually, you know, looking forward to talking with my husband about us making more money.
Amazing. Okay. So I look forward to keeping in touch. For all of our lovely listeners, if you like the show, please subscribe and share with a friend. That's the way we grow the podcast, so we would greatly appreciate it. And you can find our most up-to-date information on Instagram, and our name is Future Rich Podcast. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.